The reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. And it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. So today I'm kicking off our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to begin by looking at the very first fruit, love. As you know, love has been the inspiration for many songs, and so today I'm going to use the following song titles for the frame of my talk. What's Love Got to Do with It? By another Turner, Tina Turner. How Deep Is Your Love? By the Bee Gees. And The Power of Love by Celine Dion. But please note, the sermon is based on the Bible and not the lyrics of the song. Otherwise, I'm going to get myself in a whole lot of trouble. But you know, love is something that the world craves, which is maybe why there are so many love songs. Before we look at love, let's look back for a few minutes. As a church, we've been on a kind of journey together over the past few months. We've looked at people who have encounters with Jesus and gained a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. The run-up to Easter, we looked at the last week of Jesus' life. Week by week, we took time to reflect on the events that led up to his death. And in doing so, we looked at what that death meant for us. And then in the most recent weeks, we've been looking at people who have been challenged and changed by Jesus. I wonder what out of all of that stood out for you. I think for me, really, the experience of our Good Friday service, where we had time for reflection, enabled me to really engage with the whole experience and understanding of God's death and the following resurrection. It brought new meaning. But now we're moving on to something new, the fruit of the Spirit. And the reason we're doing this is because we're going to spend time thinking about what kind of people we need to be in order to be effective in our mission to see God's kingdom established here on earth. Then later on in the year, we're going to be revisiting our five transformational goals, which are strong families, healthy community, positive environment, overcoming loneliness, and thriving businesses. And we're going to be thinking about the mandate that we believe God has laid on our heart here at the Good Shepherd as a family, and also how individually and corporately we can play our part in God's mission. But before we do that, it is vital that we spend time not asking God what he wants us to do, But what kind of people does he want us to be in order to be truly dynamic and effective? And so in essence, this time is a time of preparation. And my prayer is that as we engage with what Paul says of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, week by week we'll take the time to ask, is there anything God is saying that I need to work on in my life? Almost like a kind of spiritual MOT. So during this talk, there's going to be a couple of periods of silence to allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to us, to take that time. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at subjects, as we heard this morning, like patience, self-control, gentleness, to name a few. But during this time, let's not rush through it. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us. Let's be purposeful and be willing to be challenged and changed, just like the people we've been hearing about in the past few weeks. So we come to the first fruit, love. And the words of the song, what's love got to do with it? Well, Paul would say, absolutely everything. If you think about it, each of our sermon series has God's love right at the centre of it. A love that is mentioned of the fruits of the Spirit that can be in us. In the ancient Greek, the original language of the New Testament, there are four separate words for love. Storge, an affectionate bond, like between a parent and a child. Philia, a type of love that was shown to a friend when Jesus walked to Lazarus' tomb and cried. Eros, a romantic love between a husband and wife, a sexual love. And lastly, and most importantly, agape. It means God's sacrificial love, and there's no version of that in English. And it's this love that Paul is referring to in our reading this morning. Agape love is something that will never cease. Why? Because it's the central character of God. St. John wrote simply, God is love. The love of God is what held Jesus to the cross for you and me. And in turn, Jesus taught us to love one another as I have loved you. And again, it's this agape love that Paul is speaking of in our reading. Now, he's not writing about a love that's some kind of abstract comment. His concept, he's not writing about songs of the lyrics, about some romantic love song. He's writing about the kind of love that we actually see in Jesus. In fact, we could read this passage and say, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus isn't envious. Jesus doesn't boast nor be proud as we go on. And the wonderful thing is that same love can actually grow in us by the Holy Spirit. But I don't know about you. I couldn't say, or I wouldn't say, Ruth is always patient. Ruth is always kind. Ruth is never envious, never self-seeking or easily angered. By the way, if you're new, my name is Ruth. I'm not picking anyone because we've got five Ruths in this congregation. So what goes wrong? Why don't we become like Jesus when we become a Christian? Well, I would say that whereas the gifts are given freely, the fruit needs to be grown and nurtured. Just like we'd grow a fruit tree, we need to recognise any disease and cut it off. That is, repent of sin that we know in our lives. We need to water it regularly. That is, to be filled with the living water of the Holy Spirit. It says in the New Testament we should be filled and carry on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And a fruit tree needs light to grow. Similarly, we need to grow by the light of God's word. All these things together will produce beautiful fruit. and they're essential conditions in which the fruit of the Spirit grows. However, as we look at the church in Corinth that Paul writes about, we have a really helpful insight, if not a warning about how things can go wrong when we don't grow in love. You see, as we look at the church in Corinth, I think there are two main reasons why the church was not very loving. Firstly, the culture of the day was shaping the culture of the church. And secondly, any real love had been replaced by pride. You see, at the time this letter was written, there was a distorted version of what love is, much like in society today. The most prominent deity to the non-Christian Gentiles worshipped was the Greek goddess Aphrodite, the god of promiscuous love. It was estimated that there were around 1,000 professional prostitutes that served in the temple dedicated to her worship. In fact, Corinth had such a reputation for sensuality and these so-called sacred prostitutes that the expression to Corinthianize became emerged, which meant to practice prostitution. That's how big and bad a reputation it had. You know, it makes me laugh when people say, well, we're not in biblical times, it's not relevant anymore. Really? Well, I tell you, it was a lot worse then. There's nothing new under the sun. They were engaged in widespread sexual immorality. And so it was the prevailing culture of the day that had begun to seep into the culture of the church. People didn't understand what true love was. And because they'd lost sight of Jesus, that is why in turn we have to be people who keep our eyes firmly on Jesus. And that's what we've been doing over these past months. We see earlier in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul describes how all the gifts of the Spirit are actually present in the church he was writing to. This is not a church that was dead and nothing going on. The gifts were being exercised, yet they'd fallen into a trap. The trap of thinking that being gifted made them more spiritual. That's pride. They were speaking in tongues, prophesying. There were words of knowledge and faith. Yet they were missing the very thing that God desired most from them, to act in love. Paul explained that as members of God's family, they all had different gifts, all different interests, but they would have one common aim, and that was to love one another. But instead, they began to compare themselves, which always has disastrous consequences, either by becoming too proud or thinking, well, actually, I've got nothing to give. And so in chapter 12, before our reading this morning, he gives evidence of a lack of love. They had lost sight of what love was and the importance of it. Pride had replaced love. They had taken the gift that they had been given and forgotten who had given it to them. The Apostle John wrote, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. Now Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So let's just take a few moments for our first reflection this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us in the silence. You might want to close your eyes. You don't have to. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can't love as he loves. Father God, we love you. And you say in your word that if we love you, we'll do what you command. So, Father, this morning we want to be right with you. Is there anywhere where we have kept your love out and operated in our own strength? Father, we're sorry. May you give us a fresh outpouring of your love that we may remain in you. Let's just take a few moments to listen to anything Holy Spirit wants to say to us. Thank you, Lord. And so the song said, what's love got to do with it? Absolutely everything. So how deep is your love? We know that love is important, but how does it show itself in practice? Love's not a feeling, although we can feel it. When my soon-to-be 25-year-old daughter was a baby, I had the privilege of being responsible for changing her nappy. I never ever thought to myself, oh great, it's nappy changing time. I absolutely love this. No, I did it because I loved her. Love is not a feeling, although you can sometimes feel it. Love is not words, although sometimes you can express it with words, can't you? I can tell my husband that I love him till I'm blue in the face, but if I treat him with disrespect, if I don't bother to spend time with it, if I flirt with every man on the planet, the words I love you mean absolutely nothing. And Paul talked about this in the beginning of our passage this morning. He made it clear that love is about actions. How deep is our love for those around us? Does it spur us into action? Our reading today ends by saying that regardless of the gifts, we have these things remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? Because it's the only thing that will remain throughout eternity. At the time Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth, it was famous, Corinth, for its mirrors. They weren't like glass now, that they were like polished metal. And not many of the Christians were able to afford one that was a good quality, so you'd be able to see your reflection well. Similarly, on earth, we don't see Jesus for who he really is and as he really is, not purely. We live by faith and hope in him. However, when we meet Christ in heaven, we shall see him clearly. Then faith and hope won't be needed, but love will remain. His love for us and our love for him. That's all that counts. So let's move on to our second time of reflection. And just take a few moments. Father God, we love you and you say in your word, if we love you, we'll do what you command. So, Father, this morning we want to be right with you. Father, if we have sometimes misunderstood love and it's not produced action within us, we are sorry. Father, reveal to us right now how we may express our love, your love, in the way you have expressed it to us. Deepen our love, Father, that we may love as you have loved us. Let's let the Holy Spirit just minister to us right now. I just get this sense that there may be some people here that are thinking, my life is just so crammed full of things, I can't even take this on board. So I just say to you right now in the silence, just hand that over to God and just let Holy Spirit minister to you. It's not about striving. And so on to our last song title this morning, The Power of Love. As we lead up to our last reflection in these last moments together this morning, I want to just quickly focus on something else that Paul wrote in our reading today. Love rejoices in the truth. Love and truth can never be separated. They come together. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and he embodies both truth and love. Truth and love can create a perfect balance in our lives and in the church. But in our relationship, the truth needs to be spoken in love. Truth without love creates strife and division in the church. Just because we have the maybe right in what we're saying, it doesn't mean we have the right to say it however we want, regardless of how it might be received. Just telling somebody you stink might be the truth. It's not the way to say something in love. On the other hand, people can get this funny idea that loving others can mean not always speaking the truth for fear of offending people. But if we aren't truthful to each other, then we can leave people living in a kind of fantasy world. He said to me a while ago that he once had a lady in one of the churches years ago who sang as flat as a pancake, but rather than telling her that, not telling her that, but just saying maybe your gifts live, you know, exist elsewhere, they just turned down the sound on her so people wouldn't have to listen to her. Really and truly, it did her no favours because everybody knew. I hasten to add that you're all fabulous here and that's not the situation. Truth without love is too hard, and love without truth is too soft. But if love and truth are both present in the church, then we're able to grow up into Christ, and by our fruits people will know us. St. Paul had a similar thing to say to the Ephesians as he did to the Corinthians. In Ephesians 4, he told them, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And then a bit further, he goes on, "Speaking the truth in love We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And the ending, I want to just focus on the power of love in that title. You know, we often pray about revival and a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, don't we? It's something that's on my heart. But, you know, I wonder if in actual fact we don't actually truly understand the ramifications of that. It means that we will have to love people with a depth of love that we have never experienced before. That's what it will mean in practice. And praying for revival without the desire to grow in love is actually a really dangerous thing. Some time ago, I was praying about something that was going on in our community, and there just didn't seem to be any kind of breakthrough in it. And it just felt odd. It didn't feel right in my spirit. And till one evening, I just said to God, why is nothing changing? And I heard these words. Well, do you love them? And I had to really think, was I praying for our community because I didn't like the idea of what was going on? Or was I praying because my heart absolutely broke because I loved people? It's a real challenge. But when we pray in love, that is when the power of God really moves. Yet, as Paul says, we can have all the gifts in the world, we can prophesy every week, we can perform miracles, but you know, without love, we'll be like a surgeon with a blunt knife. It's all about love. Now, as we go through this time of preparation as a church, my prayer is that God will deepen our love, but it really is a choice. But if we do choose, God will move in power. Praise God. Amen. So let's end with our last reflection. Come, Holy Spirit. You can close your eyes or keep them open and just be in a posture to receive. And listen to what God's saying right now. Father God, we love you, and you say it, if we love you, we will do what you command. So Father, this morning we want to be right with you. We want to love like we have never loved before, to see you move in power. And let's remind ourselves, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoings, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Father God, help us to invest in those things that are eternal, that will never fade, that we may see your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And above all, Lord, thank you for loving us.